Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I'm doing very well. There's lots of turmoil in our country.
Yeah.
But it's usually talked about right now at our borders. Our borders are a mess, as if that is not something new. But there's a new twist on it now because it's all about the children. You know, the children are being abused, and I think everybody can be very sympathetic and they tune up. But it really has led to a lot of confusions, you know, except for the liberals. The liberals are using this to the hilt, and it's a perfect political issue for the liberals. And of course, it's easy to blame Trump. But if you look at it, you'll find out that, you know, the conditions have existed in the way people were treated at the border has been around for a while. You know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, they have been doing that, or even longer. And so there's nothing new in the law, but I'll tell you what, this is good politics. I mean, this is demagoguing going on. So I'm a skeptic. I don't believe it's all about the children in a sincere way. It should be all about the children, but why did we create these situations? And we want to talk a little bit about how this came about and how it was the abuse of children and the family and all the different things that have happened that have created this situation. But I think most of what we're seeing now in the news is politics, just like Russiagate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Russians are coming. It turns out that Russia probably had very little to do with the campaign, you know, but now they're on to something else. So I question their sincerity, except for the people who have joined them, because a lot of people, I mean, not every libertarian will agree with us.
No.
Because some libertarians say, well, you got to stop it no matter what. It's an imperfect world. We don't have a libertarian society. So therefore, we have to do something, and we have to tell the president what he can do or can't do without looking at it. I sometimes look at these issues, Daniel, in a way that I guess I did in medicine. If you have a problem, you try to find the cause and find the diagnosis to give him proper treatment. And I don't think anybody's doing this. They're looking at this, and it's a blame game, it's a political game, it's a demagoguing game, but there's a reason to be very sympathetic, because the children, are in the middle, and they're getting bashed around and a lot of negative things. But then there's some justification, some tradition for what you do when you arrest people.
Yeah.
But this is big because there's so many. And I just think that this whole mess could have been avoided if we'd have had more fundamental ideas about a free society and property rights and contract rights, a more libertarian society. We wouldn't be seeing this kind of a problem.
Yeah, and you're right. We're talking about symptoms, not causes. I think it's more convenient to talk about symptoms. But you talk about demagogues, and we've got to talk about the queen of demagogues.
Mm.
The queen of demagoguing, as much as I hesitate to do so. Everyone's talking about the episode of Rachel Maddow last night, where she's on the screen crying and crying for the children. How dare they take the children away? You know, these are crocodile tears, Dr. Paul. A little while ago, it was Russiagate, day in and day out. Her aim is just to get rid of Trump no matter what. We have certainly not been sympathetic to Trump, probably 80% of the time unsympathetic. But with her, it's just demagoguery. She hates him. You know, she's crying crocodile tears. In a way, she's exploiting these kids as much as anyone else. She's using them as props for her political agenda. And it doesn't allow us to have a debate. She certainly wasn't crying when Obama was bombing Libyan kids, separating them from their parents, separating them from their own lives. So the demagoguery, it just keeps us from having a real debate about it.
And you bring up the subject of what we do overseas, and that's a big issue. That's one of the causes of the problem, certainly in Europe, probably more so than in this country. But there's mass migrations going on. It might be greater than any time in history. It's worldwide. And one of the explanations is that there's wars going on in the Middle East. I would say you're right. I think there are. I'd probably want to get out of there, too.
Yeah.
But who really is responsible for the perpetuation of those wars? I happen to believe that if we had a non-interventionist foreign policy, there would have been a lot less fighting. There'd have been conflicts, there'd have been civil strife, there'd have been overthrows, and they would sort things out, but it wouldn't be so massive and we wouldn't be involved, and I don't think the migration would ever have been as bad. Just think if we had never dropped the bomb over mm-hmm. there, and here we've dropped more bombs than we dropped in World War II, and there's a lot of people who are suffering. So that in itself adds to the problem of migrants coming in. I don't think that's as much true here, but I think it's bad economic policies here. You know, the welfare state here that rewards people for coming, and also the stupid policies they have throughout most of the world, especially Central America, which causes poverty and breaking up of families, and the family is weak on itself. I mean, sometimes you can't even blame only the government for the breakup of the family. But when the family breaks up, then the government has to move in. But you combine the family breakup system, combine it with the progressivism, where they believe they have to take over the children, and they do it in our schools. Yeah. You know, it takes a village to raise a child because the parents aren't there. So that builds and builds and builds these crises that it's almost natural to think, well, if there's a crisis at the border, and somebody's in trouble and they have to be arrested, isn't it the responsibility of the state to take care of? I think of a Child Protective Service. I've heard of so many examples of children being taken from parents for vague reasons like homeschooling and different things like that. And then it's up to the parent to prove they're innocent. You know, do we hear the outcry then? And there's a lot of that going on. But no, you don't hear the outcries from that when you see the children separated because of bad policies.
And it is terrible to see the destruction of families on the border, people that come over illegally and they're separated, which happens when you're arrested. But as you've always said, you know, our government only reflects the values of the people, and our families have been disintegrating for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, but the other thing to talk about really is, so this particular influx of refugees, it really began since around 2014. But it's been ongoing, of course. But this is when it really ramped up. Hundreds of thousands of children and families fled because of rampant violence, gang activity, and drug violence in El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. These are the three major countries that they're coming from. They're fleeing violence there. Well, why are they fleeing violence there? Well, a lot of it has to do with the drug war. We have to go back to that. Our own policies. I don't know if you saw this, Dr. Paul. I was trying to figure out what part of the drug, what's the DEA doing down there? This is something interesting. There are these commando-style squads from the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration. They were first deployed by Bush into Afghanistan to work there. They're commandos. They're armed commandos. After that was done, Obama sent them to Central America. So you have these kind of commandos that operate alongside the Honduran military, the Guatemalan military, and they go in there and they shoot them up with the drug dealers. And that creates instability, violence, the very thing that people are fleeing from.
And they make money smuggling people in. But there's another thing that if you witness this, you have to ask a question. And that is, when you see a train load of people coming in, filling up the cars, hundreds if not thousands of people flowing in, and they come from Central America through Mexico, oh, that's just spontaneous. A few families got disgusted and they got up and started walking in the crowds, Bill. That is well organized, and it's well organized by, I believe, the cultural Marxists. You know, I was looking up a little bit of George Soros. He's a smart man, made a lot of money, but he happens to believe in a society that's quite different than a libertarian society. So it has been known that he has spent on the efforts to remake the world $32 billion of his own money. You talk about maldistribution of wealth in today's society. And money from his many organizations that they have to be used, whether it's in Europe where they moved in massively, I just don't believe that's spontaneous, you know. And there's been evidence of this. And we do know this opens up the doors for drug dealers and criminals coming across and terrorists coming across, and people lose control of the borders. And then the philosophy of cultural Marxism has invaded our universities, that if you aren't sympathetic to it, you're some type of an evil person because you're defending property rights. I keep thinking, well, how would it be in a libertarian society? Well, I think if you think about this in a more narrow sense, about our houses are our castles, that if you come in, if you have your house, if somebody invades the house, he's uninvited, You're not going to leave him. Oh, welcome to a, here's a room. You can stay here and we'll feed you tonight. It's our house and you're uninvited. You may want to be a guest, but you're uninvited and you're an intruder and we want you out of here. Mm-hmm. In a way, the country should do that. And the more the government owns, the more the government controls, and the more they have manipulated society, more it becomes everybody owns the property and nobody owns the property. Nobody can speak for the property ownership. We do still, to some degree, speak for our homes, but even that becomes less sacred, too, with all the spying going on. Mm. And they come and get us to support all this through the regulatory system, the tax system, and whatnot. But we're so far removed from that. But I think we should think about a society that would be like, how do you handle problems like this if it's your house? And the one group that should agree with this is the elitists in California, the far left, because they make sure that none of the immigrants get near them.
Yeah,
do you think if they knocked on these closed communities, all of a sudden they would open up the doors? Yes, other people are. People in the poorer communities, in the communities especially in Texas, because we're more vulnerable. Yes, you guys aren't helping these people. You're not a good Christian and this sort of thing. And they totally ignore the principle of private property and voluntarism. But, of course, I've always argued that the society I foresee is, we talk about, free trade and movement about and exchange of ideas, the opposite of isolationism. So it isn't like you build walls and the walls don't solve the problem. I think it's always back to philosophy and the philosophy of cultural Marxism and the foreign policy we have, the welfare policy that we have, where we reward people to break the laws. And then, as you suggest, well, what are you going to do? Don't we have to enforce the laws? If you don't enforce the laws, and Trump makes that point, if you don't enforce the law, then you don't have a country, you don't have borders, and then the immigrants come in, and then you're forced to take care of them. But I think it's the basic disease that creates this is too many government programs that taught us to accept the idea that the government is responsible for the children. I think progressive education, government schools are notorious for this. And I complain about the Child Protective Service. I mean, who do they take in? Sometimes homeschoolers.
Yeah.
Homeschoolers. Yeah. People who want to challenge this, and then they separate them from the parents. But how many liberals will complain about that?
Yeah, Rachel is not crying over that, that's for sure. You know, I did immigration policy for you when we were on the Hill, and I have to say it was my least favorite thing about working for you. There was a lot of emotions, a lot of people yelling. And a lot of people yelled because you were not, you didn't take one side or the other. You weren't in either extremist camp. And in fact, one of the things that you worked hardest for was to expand legal temporary worker immigration. We had a lot of people that ran agricultural companies here in Texas that they needed these workers. It was a great situation. They would come and they would work for the season. They would go home. They would make some money. They wouldn't be tempted to sneak across because they had. And you fought for this. You always introduced legislation to do this. And of course, you were attacked by the immigration hardliners. How dare you want these people, these terrible people, into our country? So it's not as cut and dry.
And also along that way, I mentioned that if you subsidize something, you get more of it. If they come on and they can get a lot of free stuff, a lot of them are real hard workers, though, and
yeah.
they should be welcome. But I don't believe that if you do break our laws and you come in, that the answer it should be citizenship.
Yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't be that way, but it should be that I quite frankly have said, and nobody's been able to answer it, what is there, 15 million people who came in here illegally? We're not going to round them up. A lot of them have been here 10 years or so, and many of them are good workers and all. And but I still don't believe coming in that way, they should have an easy road to citizenship and get ahead of the other people. But it is something that has really stirred up a lot of emotions here. And politically speaking, I think the progressives and the far left think they really have something going. It'll be interesting to see because what Trump has to do is double down and not try to change that, but people are going to be, they love it because he stands up and say, he is responsible for these children. And quite frankly, that isn't true. He set himself up to look like, you know, that's the way it's going to be done and this sort of thing. So he might invite it. But I think you've pointed out that some of this laws have been around for a while.
In fact, we have our second clip up, and this is something, this was a report that the Senate Judiciary Committee commissioned, and this is about the consequence delivery system that the Homeland Security Department uses. It's been a policy since 2005 where, for punitive reasons, to demonstrate consequences to people who cross over illegally, the children are taken away. So this isn't to excuse Trump. Maybe he's enforcing it more enthusiastically. He probably knows his base. But this isn't something new. This is something that's been in place and enforced for a while.
I'd like to mention why I think it's so hard. We've sort of wanted to dwell more on some of the causes and the background of this and not pretend that ABC, you do this under these circumstances, but don't change the causes, that we have a solution, because I don't think anybody does. But it reminds me of what happens in economics. The Fed comes along, they distort the market, and they create these bubbles, and then they cause a crash like in 08 and 09, and then they have to come in. What are you going to do about this? How are we going to bail them out? There's no easy answer for that. A lot of times on TV, we'll be talking about the Fed, and they'll want to put me in the corner. And they say, okay, what would you do? What would you make the interest rates? Would you go up a half a point or down a half a point? I said, that is not the point. We shouldn't be doing it. And should we have a Fed? No. But can you just say, it's over and done with, we're done with the Fed? The structure is so big that the answers are not easy. That's why I always like to see competition and transitions. In this situation, it's the same thing. There's so many things wrong. It's the attitude, the progressive atmosphere, the incentives to come in, the bad economic problems around the world, the wars that we create. I mean, we would have to change to solve this problem totally. We have to change our economic policies, and we have to change our foreign policy, which we try to do all the time. But we also have to realize that that's not going to happen, but I think we still have to talk about it and get people, if people understood all these causes, rather than narrowing it down, it's been narrowed down to Rachel
McCall. Yeah. A couple tears.
All we have to do is hate Trump more.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we're going to solve our problem. And I think they're really missing the point there.
You know, when we were, after we finished putting together our show, and we were thinking about what are the causes, trying to, you know, objectively look at all the different aspects of it, I realized that all my effort was in vain because Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma has already discovered why we are fighting over this immigration issue. He says the huge disagreement in the U.S. right now over the immigration policy is because Russian bots are, quote, using the current family separation and immigration debate to sow discord among Americans. So this is all bunk. It's all Putin's fault.
You know, I think he's on to half of it, but he's blaming the wrong people. You know? I think there are people who want social discord. And that's called cultural Marxism. They want it. And some of them are, I think, they consider themselves well-motivated. But they like discord because they can come in and replace it with this one-world utopia, but which would be exactly opposite, you know, of libertarianism. You know, there would be one-world government running everything. And so, yes, there's discord, and a lot of it is purposeful. But that is why a free society is so much more advantageous.
And the thing is, what's wrong with discord? We disagree on things. You know, that's always going to be the case as long as we can do it with mutual respect and civility. But I would just end with something that Dr. Paul said earlier, and that is the manipulation, the media manipulation, media propaganda. It's something that I always hone in on. And these images of the trains with lots of thousands of people on it, these are classic scenes that you see from color revolutions overseas, from the Gene Sharp tactics. They are meant not to inform, but they're meant to inflame our emotions about things. So I would be very wary when you see something that is such a compelling visual image. I would be very skeptical about it.
Yes, they've used that for a long time. They use some images of babies and children to motivate the American people into going into the war in Iraq. So it's been going on for a long time, and I guess it's been throughout history. So truth is what sets us free, and that's what our job is. But we would like to hope that we can help have the American people not be gullible and listening to this propaganda. There are no perfections that anybody can present. There's no perfect way of getting out of this. But this is the reason libertarianism and free markets is so valuable. It is because we're so imperfect. So I don't want to run your life. I don't want to run the economy. And I don't want to police the world because I don't know what you want. And I don't know how to run the economy. And other people should run their world. Their problem. So it's the idea that we are imperfect, that you want it very diverse and get the power and authority away from the government. And what we were pointing out here is many government policies have already ordained that the state is more important than the parents. And that is in combination with a society where the family has been diminished in its importance. And we have this mess. But the more information we have, the more understanding we have what causes these crises, the better off we'll be. And I am just vouching for the principles of liberty and private property and voluntarism to solve our problem. I think that's the best way to go. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.